How are you, Mayor?
I'm doing fine, Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for checking in with us this morning. Appreciate it.
No problem.
How's the summer going so far?
So far, so good. Now it's just starting to fly by. We're seeing August around the corner. I was out this morning at 5 watering all my gardens at home, trying to keep it from turning to straw, the grass.
It is extremely dry, and I know the city even put out a call for people to help out by watering some of the new trees that have been planted recently.
Indeed, yeah. Even some of the ones that may not be, you know, a couple of years old. You know, if you have a summer like this, and you go into next year with the challenges, we'll lose mature stuff as well. So we'd encourage people to help us with that, because they do make a huge difference in an urban environment.
Absolutely, and they were not cheap, I am sure, to purchase.
Correct, but you know what? That's with all the discussion on climate change and all the modeling and all the arguments, debates, the one thing we can do that we all agree it helps is plant trees.
Yeah,
they're huge. They're the lungs, really, of our land. So, important.
Fortunately, Quincy is, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, but Quincy is an MWRA community, and the Quabbin Reservoir, fortunately, is in very good shape still.
It is indeed. I mean, that was a very, very great move. What foresight back in the 30s, I think it was, mm-hmm. Governor Curley. I think there was, I don't know if it was 7 towns, 3 or 4 towns. Anyway, there were a number of towns that were taken, gone. They moved cemeteries, moved houses to create the Quabbin, and boy, oh boy, what a difference it makes for the Boston metropolitan area.
Absolutely. Speaking of trees and the environment, can you talk a little bit about some of the improvements that are happening along Marymount Parkway, Mayor?
Oh, sure. Well, like people have probably noticed, the road's been rough because over the last couple of years we've been doing soil work, we've been doing water work, drain work, and now with the construction will begin on the road, which is going to include conduit underground for all the wires and lights. It will include complete reconstruction of the roadway, all the sidewalks on both sides. If you get to the stadium and all, the sidewalks are pretty rough shape. So it's that area is so well used with so many activities that it's long overdue. So we're, as you know, it's also, it cuts through a park, but it's part of 3A, Route 3A, which serves an awful lot of vehicles each and every day. So looking forward to getting that project done. It will also include some field stone walls along the embankment across from the Relax Creek area up against the park department. And it's going to lead to a lot of other aesthetic planting, trees and shrubbery and other things along that stretch, which will really, really beautify it.
Is the bridge over the Black Creek part of this project, or is that separate?
Not part of this one. It'll be a separate one.
Okay.
We're trying to identify the money for that, because that's about an $8 million project. We had secured some money for it, but not the total amount. So that will be a separate piece.
And do you know, will the road be closed at all for the construction?
It should be open. Okay. I'm pretty sure it'll be open at all times, whether it's one direction, certain hours, but it will be passable.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure on that. I haven't heard it different.
Speaking of bridges, we can't ignore the Supreme Court decision yesterday regarding the Long Island Bridge and your reaction to that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, as I said, when Boston announced they were going to rebuild the bridge, that I was going to use every tool in the tool chest to try to keep them from building that bridge. And as you know, it's been a number of years now, and I think we've had some success keeping them from building it. This was a specific case on the Conservation Commission portion, which the court rejected and basically agreed with the DEP portion. It was limited to that. There's still other steps, particularly the Coast Guard process with the bridge permitting from the Coast Guard's perspective. So we still haven't finished the fight, in my view. We'll continue to do that. And I can only imagine what the cost of the bridge would be today with the cost of materials and so forth. It's got to be well over $200 million. I still don't see the merit in the city of Boston spending that kind of money and then having to go out to the island and spend an awful lot of other money to fix the buildings. I don't disagree with the way they'd like to use the island to help those with challenges and addiction issues, although they'd never really articulated what type of programs would be out there. But they ferry kids out there every day on the summer program, so I'm not sure why it's such an issue not to pursue the water transportation. If they had done that initially, they'd probably be using the facilities now.
Speaking of ferries, I'm sure you're aware the state budget includes $10 million for a ferry service to Long Island. Would that be enough to fund a service?
I don't think it would be enough to fund it, okay. But it certainly would go a long way, I think, in the permitting, the design, and maybe a portion towards construction of whatever changes would need to be made on the piers on the side of Long Island that faces kind of the west, which is probably where they'd be loading. Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't seen the specifics of the legislation. I am aware of it. You know, with this time of all kinds of federal money out there, and that's the interesting piece is with the state and the federal government. Boston, technically, it's a private island. It's not open to the public, therefore, it's not eligible federal and state money. So mm-hmm. It would be all of Boston money to pay for that. It's another challenge I think the city has. In pursuing this, so we'll see what happens, but we're going to stay on it, of course.
Have you actually sat down and met with Mayor Wu about this, Mayor?
Yes, a couple of months ago. Okay. We had a meeting. Yep.
And the cost of fighting this legally, is that getting to be a concern?
No. I mean, it's a big corporation, Joe. This is a absolute quality of life issue. So that the cost is not. I don't believe it's that significant when you weigh it to what it will mean for traffic for that part of our city.
Mm-hmm. Seeing as we're talking about transportation, it was suggested not too long ago that the MBTA be eliminated. What do you think, Mayor?
The MBTA be eliminated?
Mm-hmm. The state just come in and take it over.
No, I think that the T has been... We're seeing the manifestation of decades of neglect for the T. They had the Band-Aid bailing wire approach literally for decades, Joe. And it's now really, really catching up to them. And I'll still say to the day he leaves office and afterwards that this governor is the only governor in the last 50 years that stepped up, that took a leadership role to try to address the T. And I do think the changes, the investments that have been made are going to be showing within the next year or two. Unfortunately, we've had some very difficult tragedies and incidents. But if we weren't doing what we're doing, particularly with the governor's lead over the last few years, would be in a lot worse shape. So I think we're just around the corner from really a transportation system that will be really up to par. You know, people forget it's the oldest subway system in the country. You know, Park Street was the first, I believe it was Park Street, was the first station in the country. So, you know, we got to continue investing. I know we talk about it all the time as far as locally, mm-hmm. the importance of investing in infrastructure. And public transportation is no different. And as we're seeing the expressway fill up again, as people have gone back to work, I think it will drive people back to the T as the conditions and the system improves.
We should talk about some investments in public safety here in Quincy in the form of 25 new police officers.
Yes, indeed. You know, we're a big city. We've got a big department, Joe, as you know. So there's always movement. We have lost a number of retirees over the last couple of years, some who aged out, many did not. With all the climate change going across the country, we lost a number of good officers because they were just concerned about the state legislation and just concerned about they'd have to think about every moment of every decision. They'd be afraid they'd be sued and their families and would be affected and so forth. So I think that was probably... a little bit of an exaggeration of what the state did, but it's legitimate concerns that these men and women had. So we're dealing with that now, and as you know, in a city our size, and each year you have retirement, some you predict because of age, some you don't. So we need to continue to work to bring them up, the numbers up to where we're budgeted. It's kind of always chasing our tail to some degree, both on the police and fire regarding that, because by the time you call for the list and go through the background checks and psychological checks and physical exams and then of course the training academy, the in-person academy, it's 18 months before you see them on the street. So we're trying to jump a little bit ahead. The chief had talked to me about some additional positions this year so we could at least get up to par with what we have for numbers. So that's kind of the goal. So we did appoint 25 new officers just last week or the week before.
Speaking of the chief, as you're aware, he will be forced to retire next year. So what is the process for finding a new chief?
Yeah, actually, he retires next year. We've just lost Captain Dugan. We've just losing Lieutenant Glenn. We're losing a lot of folks with a lot of experience in that world, guys that really worked very hard over the years. So we did some promotions along with the new officers last week, or the week before, I should say. Time goes very quickly. But yeah, so we're in discussions now with civil service and on what the steps are. My guess is we will engage with an assessment center, which is one of the things civil service likes, which it kind of takes me directly out of the office, I mean, of the appointment process, in the sense that the assessment center will do the interviews, do the backgrounds, they throw scenarios in front of the candidates, and then they'll make a recommendation based on that, a point system they develop, and then we'll figure from there. So the goal is to have a chief in place before this chief walks out the door.
I see. Okay. You did the same thing for the fire chief's position, as I recall.
Yes, we did. We had the assessment center that handled that as well,
Right. Will there be openings for new firefighters in the future, Mayor?
Well, we're actually waiting on a grant that the department has written to the federal government. We've gotten grants before. We wrote a grant for 16 firefighters, and the federal grant would pay for their salary as well as their benefit costs for 3 years, which would be a huge help, because by the time that 3 years comes, you probably have had 20 guys retiring,
right,
and you're back at it. So, yeah, we're hopeful. We'll find out fairly soon. It would be effective in the new federal budget, which is October 1st. So we should be hearing something any day on that.
Very
if we get the green light, then, of course, we'll move on hiring.
Sure. Always good to talk to you, Mayor. Maybe we'll see you at one of the many events at the Hancock Adams Common this year.
Sounds good, Joe. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.